Mrs. Payne's going to bring the special this evening. Let's take our Bibles and go over to Romans chapter 7, and we're going to start in verse 21. Romans chapter 7 and verse 21. As you are turning there, Mrs. Payne, if you'll come up and bring us the special this evening. Thank you, Mrs. Payne, for that song. All right, you're over there in Romans chapter 7 and verse 21. We're going to begin reading there. Romans chapter 7 and verse 21. The Bible begins reading there, "I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, that then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." The Apostle Paul here is talking about the laws that God mentions in the in our lives. And the Apostle Paul is referring to, in these five short verses, he mentions the word law seven times. Seven times. You notice there in verse 21, the law is mentioned once. Verse 22, law is mentioned once. In verse 23, three times. And verse 25, it is mentioned twice. And so we find that the Apostle Paul, he's talking about a law. The law of God, the law of the mind, the law of sin. He's referring to a law that is mentioned in the Bible, I believe, over and over. He says the Christian always has and always will have laws that govern their actions and that control their thoughts and their motives. And so the Apostle Paul, he begins to talk about these laws, the law of the mind, the law. And so this portion of Scripture also brings my mind back over to a portion over in Daniel chapter 6 where some evil men came up against the king and they said, there's a righteous man in our midst. And this man we do not like. We do not like to see him pray three times a day. We want to make a decree. And nobody can pray to anybody besides you, O king. And so he makes this decree, but the decree is a decree of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be altered. There in verse 8 of chapter 6, it says, which cannot be altered. In verse 12 of the same chapter, it says, which cannot be altered. So the king, he signs this decree, and he says nobody can pray or make a petition to any other person or any other god besides me, the king. Well, as you know, the story goes on, and Daniel gets on his knees three times a day, and he is caught, he's brought into the lion's den, and he's cast down there. But the king said, I wish I could turn the law around, and I wish I could get Daniel out of the lion's den. But it was too late. It was too late. He could not change the law. And I believe that the laws that that Paul is talking about here this evening are the same way. They are laws that cannot be changed. He says there, which cannot be altered. Which cannot be altered. I think of Esther when the decree came before the king and he signed off that all the Jews should be killed in all the province there of the nation that he ruled over. And the decree came, and Esther was part of that manslaughter that was to happen. And Esther came before him. He could not change the decree. The decree was set in stone. It was unchangeable, just like Daniel chapter 6, verse 8 and 12 say. I believe also there were a few scientists that gathered together in the 1800s. And they started thinking, actually it started in the 12th century, and just some things compiled together, some laws of nature. And they brought the law of thermodynamics into existence there in the middle of 18th century. A law that could not be changed. I have a quarter in my pocket. If I throw this up, this is not the law of thermodynamics, okay? This is the law of gravity. All right. But if I throw this quarter up in the air, there's a law that it's going to come down. Whatever goes up is going to come down, and I can do all I want to keep that quarter up in the air, but if I throw it up, it's going to come down. And there are some laws in our Christian lives that are the same way. They are set in concrete. God says these laws will be in our lives, whether we like them or not. I remember growing up, my dad had a set of laws. He called them rules. He had a set of laws in our house. There are five laws, five rules in our house. And we had to obey them and abide by them. Otherwise, we got the consequence. And it wasn't very fun. But I can remember my dad, I would do something, and my dad would say, now that is rule number 3, I think, that you just broke. And oh, man, I hated hearing those words. And it was a law that could not be changed in my dad's book. Well, God has a book of laws here this evening. And I must govern my life according to the laws that He places in the Word of God. I want to make sure that I stay in the boundaries and the parameters of these laws that God has placed for me. Here the Bible says, I find then a law. He says, mark this down. Every time you come to this situation, this is going to happen. Every time, mark this down, every time you throw your quarter up in the air, it's going to come back down. Unless it's attached to some beggar's string or something like that. Then it's going to be snatched away. But every time when this certain situation comes to pass, this result is going to happen. And God says, every time I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. So we have the law of thermodynamics that is physical. In our physical realm, we see that process every time we wake up and we look in the mirror. Everything is digressing. Everything is getting a little bit worse, and the wrinkles start growing a little bit larger, and the sags under the eyes get a little bit bigger, and such things as that. We see the second law of thermodynamics in action And you can't do anything about it. Yeah, they sell all different kinds of stuff to rub on, and you can get all that kind of stuff. But you know what? It happens whether you like it or not. And God's laws are the same way. They happen whether you like it or not. They can either bring the greatest blessings to your life, or they can bring the greatest consequences to your life. I want them to bring the greatest blessings to my life. I can ignore those laws, but the laws still have an effect on my life. Those laws, the laws are enforced whether we know them or not. Whether we believe in them or not, the laws are still enforced. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. Then it goes, you will have a long life. A heathen that doesn't even know anything about the Word of God, but obeys their parents and honors their parents, will have a long life. They did not know the law, but the law is still in effect in their life, even though they were not aware of what the Word of God said. The law of God is enforced whether we know it or not. The African in a tribe that has never heard the name of Jesus Christ is still a sinner. How about that? He never even heard, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The person over in or up at the North Pole that has never opened up the Word of God and never looked at the Scripture will still die, because the wages of sin is death. In the Baptist churches, in the Catholic churches, in the North Pole, in Africa, it's all the same. The law of God has an effect on people whether they know it or not. Then, there are no exceptions to the law. Huh? There's no exceptions to the law. Have you ever been pulled over by a policeman? And the policeman says, well, I'll have grace on you this time. I'll have grace on you. Huh? It doesn't go that way. The laws of God, every time, God says, I find then a law, or the Apostle Paul says, I find then a law. Mark it down. When you face this situation in your life, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. Either you are going to be blessed, or you're going to bear the consequences in your life. Then, your belief does not determine the verdict of the law. Your belief, well, I just don't believe. How many times have you knocked on a door and somebody just said, oh, I don't believe in hell. That's just hogwash. I don't believe that. Huh? The verdict does not change through their beliefs. Their beliefs don't change the end result. I was talking to a fella on Saturday, and I was knocking on a lady's door, and he was over at the next door house, or the house next door, and he was doing a little bit of drinking out there, and he said, you know what, me and the devil, we are good friends. And I said, oh, is that right? He said, yeah, once I get to hell, I'm going to see all my buddies down there. I said, no, you aren't going to see any of your buddies. It's pitch black down there. He said, oh, no, I'm going to tell the devil, move on over. I'm going to rule now. I'm going to turn on the lights. I said, yeah, that's a funny philosophy, but that's not reality, sir. That's not reality. Hey, he didn't believe one bit about hell. But his beliefs don't change the facts. The facts are there's a heaven and there's a hell, and you've got to pay for your sins if you don't ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. The verdict does not change because of a person's belief. Whether I believe in the laws of God, it does not change the verdict in my life. Either I am going to be blessed, or I'm going to bear the consequences in my life. That is the way it is with all the laws of God. First of all, I'm going to go through a couple of laws that I believe, if we will keep in mind, these laws can help us. And I believe that we can grow as a Christian by keeping and maintaining these laws that God has established in His Word. I want to preach this evening on the law of Christian dynamics. The law of Christian dynamics. What are some of the laws that God has established in His Word? I believe the first law is the decision to do right is always accompanied with evil. The decision to do right is always accompanied with evil. Think, how is that? Well, the Bible says there in verse 21, I find then a law. He says, mark it down. Guarantee it. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. He says, I decided to go and do something good. The Holy Spirit has told me to do this. And now I've set out on my mission.
to go accomplish what God has told me to do. But right as I decide to do that, I face evil and I face the restraint of evil in my life. He says every time this situation, every time I decide to do good, evil is right there testing me and tempting me to do what is wrong. Why? Why? Because it's a law. Satan sees and he hears every decision that you make for the Lord. And he says, I know what potential that decision has in that person's life, and I'm going to give everything I can to stop that person from doing the decision that they made. For instance, on Sunday, you come to church. You're sitting in the pew. The Holy Spirit comes by your pew and begins to tap on your heart. Have you ever had that happen? Oh, praise the Lord. I'm glad when it happens, but sometimes the toes get pretty tight in the shoe, huh? They get smashed, and the Holy Spirit comes by, and He sticks that dagger in there, and He twists, and He turns, and you can almost feel the blood coming out of your heart. You check, and you look for the blood, but it's not there. The Holy Spirit is doing the work. You say, I can't resist anymore. I know what I need to do. I know that I've got to come down to the altar. I know I've got to do business with God, and so you come down to the altar. You pray. Yes, God, for His grace. Yes, God, for victory over the situation or help, God's help to do a certain thing in your life. You get up off of your knees at the altar. You turn around. Guess who you meet right there? You're going to meet the devil himself. You're going to meet Satan himself, and he's going to throw every hurling accusation at you. He's going to throw every temptation at you. Why? Because there is a law that says, I find the law that when it would do good, evil is present with me. Hey, I'm going to face it. So if I know that I'm going to face it, I can beware and I can be careful. When I turn around, I know that the devil is going to try to distract me from the decision of good that I've made in my life. And if you know the same thing, you can beware of Satan's trap that he will lay for you. I promise you, teenager, when you go to youth camp this summer, I promise you. Well, when you got back, that Satan tempted you to go and leave that good decision that you made. I promise you, teenager, when you sit in chapel, and young person, when you sit in chapel in school, and you make a decision in your pew, I promise you, Satan is right there at your desk ready to tempt you. I promise you. Why? Because that's the way the devil is. He wants to tempt you as soon as you make a good decision. He knows the potential. You know what? He has seen somebody else make the same decision that you're about ready to make. And he has seen somebody keep that decision. And he's seen their life be completely changed and transformed and bring glory to God. And he hates that. He hates that with a passion. So he says, anything I can do to keep that decision from maturing and maturing in their life, I will do it. I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. God, I need to get over this habit in my life. Or God, I need to start doing this. As soon as the words come out of my mouth, the devil is right there whispering it in my ear, a temptation, a desire to do something that is not right. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I remember reading over in 1 Corinthians, or 1 Kings chapter 13. The young prophet, he was sent by God to Bethel to prophesy against the altar. As he was prophesying against the altar, the king did not like it. And Jeroboam, he went up against the young man of God, and he told the man of God, or he shared a part of his mind with the young man of God. As he was doing that, his hand withered. The young man of God healed his hand, got on his animal, and rode back, his donkey, and rode back, sat underneath an oak tree. And the Bible says there was an old prophet. He said, let me go talk to this young prophet. Let me go visit him. So he went and he talked to him, got him to come to his house, which God had told him not to do, and got him to sit there and eat and drink. He did what was right, but as soon as he did it, there was somebody that the devil had placed in his life to get him off course. So you say, Brother Caleb, I made a decision last Sunday. I made a decision, I'm going to get rid of this, or I'm going to start doing this, or God spoke to my heart. Let me tell you a secret. The devil is right there, ready to distract you from that decision. It's a law. It's a law. It mark it down. If you haven't been tempted yet, you will be. The devil is on his path to your heart. Teenager comes home from youth camp and he tells his mom or his dad the decision that he made there at the altar. Guess who heard that? Huh? The devil himself. Guess who tempts him? The devil himself. Why? I find the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I find over in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. They decide, hey, we're going to sell our property. We're going to give all of it to the church. We are going to be a blessing to the church. Man, put our name out there on the marquee. We're going to let everybody know all of our possessions are going to the church. And boy, they get excited about it. They sell their property. They have somebody come by. I'm sure the house market back then wasn't the same as the house market today. They sold their property. They got a good chunk of change, maybe a little bit more than what they were expecting. They said, wow, look at all this. I think we'll take just a little bit and keep it in our 401k, and then the rest we will give to the church, huh? And so they bring it to the church. Now, so far, so good. As far as selling the property and deciding to give it all, yeah, nothing wrong with that. When I find the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. We're going to give it all to the church. Hold on. Don't you need this for something? Don't you need this? Don't you want to keep back some of the portion? Nothing wrong with keeping back some of the portion. But when they spoke the promise to God, then the devil heard it. And he said, I am going to set evil in their path. And as soon as they tripped up, they fell down dead. Why? I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. You have good intentions tonight? You have a good heart? Guess who's right there ready to tempt you? Huh? Why? Because it's a law. It's a law. You won't get around it. Every time you do something, make a good decision, the devil is there to stop the potential of that good decision. Not only is every good decision met or accompanied with evil, but seed sowing will be seeds harvested. Seed sowing will be seeds harvested, or the crop harvested. I am going to sow some seeds. The same seeds I sow, I'm going to harvest. I enjoyed planting my garden this spring. I enjoy gardening. I have when I was just a little boy, I enjoyed gardening, and I still enjoy it today. I planted the seeds, and I had David out there with me, and he helped me plant the zucchini, and his zucchini plant is almost taller than him, or getting there pretty close. And we're waiting for those monster zucchinis that grow in Illinois. And I love planting. I love growing. I love to see growth. I love watching growth. And I stuck those seeds in there. They're bean seeds. And all of a sudden, about 7 days later, they start to pop up through the ground. Right now, they're bearing forth cucumbers. It's amazing. No. You'd say, Brother Kevin, you're crazy. No, the bean seed is bringing forth a bean plant. Incredible, huh? After your kind. I think that law was established in Genesis chapter 1. After your kind. I think some other people need to know about that law as well. But after your kind, God says the same seed you sow is going to bring forth the same kind of crop you're going to harvest. Once you throw the seed down, it doesn't change into what you want it to be. You're going to pick the same stuff you planted. That's the same thing spiritually. It doesn't change physically to spiritually. It's the same. So sow what you want, and you will reap what you want. You've got to sow what you want, not what's convenient. You've got to sow what you want. I want beans. This fall, or not quite the fall, I want beans this summer. I want to pick some green beans. I want to sit in front of a plate full of green beans with butter on top of those things and the steam rolling off. Praise God. And I want to eat some green beans. I don't want to eat a cucumber from my bean plant. You know what? I won't eat a cucumber from my bean plant because I will harvest what I've planted. So plant what you want, not what's convenient. You know what? I share a secret with you. Doing good is never convenient. Huh? Doing good is never convenient. It's most of the time it's not convenient to go to church. Most of the time it's not convenient to read your Bible. Most of the time it's not convenient to pray, except when you're in a bind. Most of the time it's not convenient to do what is right. But you got to plant the right seed anyhow. And God says if you plant the right seed, you're going to reap the right harvest. And so you got to put the right seed in there. God says that's a law. He says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Oh, I'll just sow a little seed to the wind. I'll just sow a little tares. It's all right. It'll never grow. It'll never come into a harvest into my life. Let me say this. You always reap more than what you plant as well. You sow a little bit of seed to the tares and to rebellion and to selfishness, you're going to reap a whole lot of it. He says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That shall he also reap. That. Exactly what he planted, that is what he's going to reap. He says over there in the next verse, verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That tells me if I plant the right thing, I'm going to get the right crop. We have a man in the Old Testament that destroyed a city or helped destroy a city, march around the walls time after time, one day at a time. And finally, on the 13th time, the walls came a-tumbling down. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. And there was a man in the army by the name of Achan. Achan had saw the Babylonian garments. There was a man there. Everybody else was doing what was right. But there was a man there that was sowing a few seeds to selfishness. Sowing a few seeds to lust. Sowing a few seeds to what he wanted. You know what he reaped? He reaped a pile of stones. His whole family reaped a pile of stones. Now, that's not very convenient to get stoned to death every day. And I'm sure he didn't very appreciate it a whole lot from the Israelites. But that's what he sowed, and that's what he reaped. He sowed to the flesh, and he reaped corruption. Harvest is not always immediate. Harvest is not always immediate. You may sow for 20 years. A man can go out and make a diet out of Big Macs, Cokes, and French fries. He can eat that diet. I mean, breakfast, nothing like good Big Mac for breakfast, huh? A Big Mac for breakfast, Big Mac for lunch, Big Mac for supper. And he can eat that for 20 years with no problem. Except maybe the tire syndrome or something like that. But he can eat that thing and eat that thing and just keep on going. But you know what? Eventually he's going to, the diet is going to catch up with him. And he's going to have to go to the doctor. And the doctor's going to say, you've got high cholesterol or you've got blockage in your heart or something like that. Why? He can sow for 20 years. He can eat bad food for 20 years. Or he can eat ice cream and ice cream and freeze pops every day of his life, breakfast, lunch, and supper, and go to the dentist and say, hey, I still have teeth. And then eventually he's going to go to the dentist and say, hey, I got dentures. Huh? Why? Because the harvest is coming, and it may not come immediately, but it will come for you, and it will come for me. I've got to make sure that I am sowing the right seeds to get the right harvest, and that I don't get frustrated with the time of the growth of the harvest. Samson, he sowed the wrong seed for a long time. He went down there to the Philistines' land, and he flirted around a little bit with this lady and married this lady. She was taken away, and then he flirted around a little bit more with the Philistines. Then all of a sudden, he woke up, and the Spirit of the Lord was not with him. Why? Harvest day came. Harvest day came. You see all the wheat in the fields right now. Oh, it's starting to look beautiful. It's starting to turn brown. Harvest day is coming. Yep, harvest time. I love to look out. It was out the window, and I love to watch the farmers go down the street. And this was in the school, sitting looking out the window. They always lock you up in the good times of the year, spring and fall. And I used to look out the window and watch those tractors go down the roads with
heaps of grain in their wagons. Why? Because harvest time was come. And harvest time for you is going to be here before you know it. Now that can be sown. Oftentimes we think, all right, that means that I'm going to sow all the, I'm going to reap all the bad stuff that I have ever sown in my life. Well, I've got, there's another side to that coin. You know that? There's the good side to that coin. You keep on reaping. The Bible says, sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap of the Spirit. You will reap all those Sunday school lessons that you put down on pieces of paper, and you went into your class, and you taught your class, and you left your classroom thinking that nothing was accomplished. Every time you greeted somebody at the door and you thought, boy, my handshake didn't make a difference in their life. Or every time you went out and knocked on a door and you got your nose pinched off in their doorway and you think, boy, that wasn't very successful. I wasn't very good tonight. Or you try to pass out tracts and the tract gets passed back to you. And you say, my goodness, all the seeds of good that I'm doing, it just is not worth it. Yes, it is worth it. Hey, harvest time is coming. You just wait, your harvest is coming. Don't get discouraged because your harvest is coming. All those snotty boys and girls that you bring up on the bus route, hey, harvest time is coming for you. I was at McDonald's and Brother Marty was with me last night. And we went there, took the teenagers out for a little bit of a cool break and took the teenagers to McDonald's. And we went there, they ordered. And as Brother Marty was ordering, a fellow behind the desk or behind the counter said, I know you. Marty said, you do? He said, yeah, about 12, 15 years ago, I used to ride your bus. Huh? I think harvest time came in for that, for Brother Marty. That fellow saying, hey, you made a difference in my life. Well, praise God. Harvest time is coming for you as well. Don't get discouraged. Harvest time is coming. It's a law. It's a law. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's a law. It won't change. Harvest time is coming. Harvest time is coming for Abby. Huh? Wedding day. After all the years of praying and asking God to give her a husband, huh? I think harvest time is coming. Man, I can remember. I can remember our wedding. Boy, oh boy, I was so excited that was Saturday morning. And, I tell you what, I couldn't wait to see my wife come down the aisle. That was a blessing. Huh? Harvest time's coming for Abby. She's prayed and asked God and served the church, served in the bus ministry. I'll tell you what, her bus kids are going to miss her. She's made a big impact in those bus kids' lives. Big impact. Preacher tells me that they call her on her cell phone. They know her like a big sister. Harvest time's coming. Huh? Praise God. Don't get discouraged, young people, teenagers. Don't get discouraged. Your harvest is coming. God will not be mocked. Harvest day will be around the corner. I believe not only is there with every good decision, it is accompanied with evil. I believe also that every seed that sown will bring forth a harvest. And I also believe that stagnant Christianity will always bring backsliding lifestyles. Stagnant Christianity will always bring backslidden lifestyles. The Apostle Paul says to Timothy, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 13 says, yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. I can remember going out, or actually we were driving down the interstate with Brother Boyd. We had a bunch of preacher boys with us. There was, I think it was 15 preacher boys in the 15 passenger van. And we were driving down the road and we were telling our testimonies. We were going to Gainesville, Texas. And we decided to start up towards the front, and each person was going to give their testimony. And as we did, we also had to give our baptism date and when we got saved, when we got baptized. So we came to one fellow, and he gave his testimony. He said, but I've never been baptized before. We just looked at him, traveling with Brother Boyd and not being baptized. That is not going to work. Brother Boyd will have your hide. And so before we even got to the first revival meeting, as we're driving down the interstate, we're looking for water. Any puddle, any pond big enough.
finally we saw one. We looked over and there was a pond. It was in the middle of a pasture. You know, great big old steers or hosting cows out there. And so we pulled the van over with a 15 passenger van and with the wagon. And we all hopped out of the van and went over there. As we looked at the water, there was some green stuff. The green stuff could probably talk to us. I mean, it was thick and gooey. And so we had to part the Red Sea almost. So we pushed that stuff back, make room for our wonderful preacher boy because we loved him in Christ. Got him down in there, and we dunked him in the water. Amen. Boy, we had a good time. He came up with LG and everything else. It was great. Oh, I remember also walking through some pastures of my friends, and we would go down where the cows were at. And in the summer, hot days, August, the algae just grows on those ponds. And it would get so thick, and we would throw stones in there. What is happening to that water? It's stagnant. Sometimes, I think God looks at my life and He says, Caleb, you're like that pond with algae growing all over. Stir yourself up. Get red back up. Man, get out there and see somebody saved. Or get out there and be an encouragement to somebody. Do something for Christ. I stir you up, he says. Don't let mediocrity or lethargicness develop in your Christian walk with God. Don't let it happen. He says, stir yourself up. Get fired up. Go out there and see somebody saved. Be out there and be a blessing to somebody. I believe the first step of being stagnant for the Lord is being familiar with God. Just being familiar with the church and familiar with all the songs and familiar with all the verses, and nothing really stirs you anymore. It's all common. You're familiar with all of it. You're familiar with doing a program on the bus or doing a program in Sunday school, and it's just all the routine. It begins to become monotonous, or it's just maybe not monotonous, it's just habit. I can close my eyes and I can still walk. See? Look at that. Isn't that amazing, huh? That's how we go through our Christian life sometimes. It becomes just ritual. And one thing right after another. Okay, I've got to read my Bible. I've got to pray this morning. I've got to do my personal devotions. I've got to have devotions with the family. And just goes on and just gets into a routine. Man, hop out of that. He says, I stir you up. I stir you up. There's a difference between getting into a good habit of Bible reading and it beginning to be monotonous. And beginning to be just common, just the everyday practice. Eli was in the tabernacle every day. He was in the tabernacle every day. He saw the fire of the Lord burning. Every day he became familiar with it all. And then the second step, he let the fire go out. Where the Lord did not stir his heart anymore. Seeing the sacrifices, that's just what we do. We're Israelites. That's our command. That's what we have to do. No. It's not have to do. This is what we get to do. You and I, we get to go to our prayer closet. We don't have to bring a bullock. We don't have to bring a sheep. We don't have to have our backyards, praise God. We don't have to have our backyards full of firstborn male, perfect lambies. No, we get to just go into our prayer closet. We get to ask God for the requests that we need. Praise God, we can go in and sit before the Lord and say, God, I need you to stir my heart once again. I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. The law of Christian dynamics, whether you believe in them or not, it will affect your life. There's nobody exempt from them. And our beliefs about the laws don't change the verdict. They're always the same. Evil will always meet you at a good decision. Your seeds will always produce the same type of seed that was planted. Or your harvest will always be the same type of harvest of the seed that was planted. And then a stagnant life always brings forth a backslidden life. The way it is. The Bible says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Notice that. With the mind, all of these things that I've mentioned, all three of them,
It's a mental battle. With the mind, I serve the Lord. With the mind, I give my heart to God. With my mind, I make a decision. With my mind, I'm aware that the devil is going to trip me up. With my mind, I've got to be conscious of the decisions and the seeds that I am planting. With my mind, I've got to make sure that my heart is not stagnant. I keep myself fervent. Keep my heart stirred for the Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You will either reap the blessings or the consequences of all these laws that God has in His Word. Those are three of the many, many laws that God has placed there. It won't be changed, just like gravity. The law of gravity won't be changed. They won't be changed in our life either. Maybe the Lord spoke to your heart this evening. Maybe the Lord touched on a certain area. Say, Brother Caleb, I want to make a good decision. I want to make a decision for the Lord. But I'm aware that it's going to be tested. It's going to be tested. Lord, Brother Caleb, the Lord spoke to my heart. I want to make a good decision. Or maybe the Lord spoke to your heart about getting stirred back up. Going out there, maybe seeing somebody saved. Maybe getting excited about teaching a Sunday school class. Maybe getting excited about being in the nursery once again. Let the Lord stir your heart. Maybe you're planting the wrong seeds. I don't know. If the Lord came by your pew, said, Brother Caleb, would you pray for me? Anybody like that? I see those hands. Just raise your hand up. The Lord spoke to my heart. I see those hands. Let me put them down. Maybe you're sitting here this evening and you say, Brother Caleb, I don't even know that if I were to die tonight, that I'd spend eternity in heaven. I haven't even thought about heaven, really. I haven't even thought about my eternal destiny. I'm not sure that I would go to heaven. Say, Brother Caleb, I've never trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I don't know that heaven's my home. Would you pray for me this evening? Would you just slip your hand up? Anybody like that this evening? I'm not sure 100% that I am on my way to heaven. Anybody like that? All right, if the Lord spoke to your heart, I encourage you to do some business with the Lord. I see that hand. I see that hand. Excellent. You may put your hand down. If the Lord spoke to your heart, I encourage you to do business here at the altar and ask the Lord to help you in whatever area of life that He spoke to your heart about.